Hey, it's Dan Harmon from Harmontown. I want to tell you about an exciting new podcast coming to Feral Audio called Launch Left. Rain Phoenix and Moon Zappa are going to interview extraordinary minds, mavericks, and pioneers in their fields. This season, Launch Left is going to celebrate nonconformists like Michael Stipe, Shepard Fairey, Spike Jones, Mario Batali, and many others. And those guests are also going to spotlight their favorite left-of-center emerging artists. So listen and subscribe now at feralaudio.com/launchleft, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can do it however you want, man. That's the nonconformist part.
Feral Audio.
Feral Audio Live. The first comedy special from Feral Audio. 2 hours of stand-up and improv, hosted by Dan Harmon and Aaron McGaffey.
But we are hosting it. I didn't know they made albums anymore.
They sure do. They make them every day.
Featuring an opening meditation by Duncan Trussell.
How wonderful it is to be here tonight at the Feral Audio Special album taping.
Steve Agee.
That's f***ing embarrassing.
Little Esther Pavitsky.
This is a dorky-ass crowd. I like it.
DJ Dougbound.
Turn down for Doug.
John Roy.
I'd be like, I got a notebook full of jokes. And as soon as I learn to tell them without my hands shaking, I'll make as much money as a school teacher.
Melissa Stevens.
This is going to get real graphic, and it's recorded, so.
And Brody Stevens.
You got to be ready in a Brody show. You got to be ready.
On sale now at feralaudio.com/shop. Get a $5 audio download and an independently produced video special for just $10. Visit feralaudio.com to learn more.
Live from Los Angeles, it's the Feral Audio Podcast
Oh, hello there. Welcome to
today's episode of Twisting the Wind is brought to you by Night Channels. What is Night Channels? It's the web address nightchannels1word.com. It is an online clothing retailer specializing in all things bizarre and special and psychedelic, freakish, abnormal, delirious, and otherwise. And otherwise, ooh, wow, there's a lot of space in that word, isn't there? Now, they have hundreds of amazing designs to choose from. I'm serious, hundreds. It is a veritable one-stop shop, or a one-shop stop, for t-shirts that you will not find anywhere else on the entire internet. That's a bold claim, isn't it? You know why I can say that? Because I fucking... Just because it's true. Because it's absolutely true. I know, because I found it. Because I was looking for clothes you couldn't find anyplace else on the internet. T-shirts, specifically. And I found them. Okay? I'm being for fucking real. Okay? So just take it from me. Right now. Lean forward. Turn up the gain. Just turn up that gain on you got on your little machine. The volume, the sound, the whole thing. And just take a little bit. Take it from me. You will like what you see at Night Channels. I promise. Okay? Did you hear all that echo and that sound? That's because I promise. You have to understand here. This whole thing came about. The idea that Night Channels is partially sponsoring Twisting the Wind and I'm promoting them. It didn't come about in some bad way. It came about because I wanted to do this. Because I really do genuinely love what they produce. And think it's all... It's just the best. It's just the best. If you like listening to this podcast, which you do, you definitely do. If you don't like listening to this podcast, well, God, what are you doing right now? Why are you here? Go someplace else. Go to a softball tournament in northern Iowa and fucking drink Coors Light until you're fucking get diabetic and have to have your leg sawed off in a fucking tundra. That's probably what you should be doing. But if you don't want to do that, and it's because you like listening to this podcast and being where you are right now, you will like the things that are available for a very reasonable amount at Night Channels, at nightchannels.com. I promise you, guarantee. Because it's all the same thing. It is the visual equivalent of the sound equivalent that is being transmitted right now into your fucking brain. Okay? It's just like a visual mega buffet of massively psychedelic imagery available on every sized shirt and all different ranges of color. We're talking about all kinds of amazing full color designs of pertaining to the occult and all of your favorite, most interesting bands that you never thought you would ever get a fucking t-shirt for. They have it! And all of your favorite weirdo films. You're like, oh my god, you like that movie? Yeah, they do too at Night Channels, okay? And because of this extra special super arrangement we have here, Twisting the Wind listeners get 15% off their entire order when you enter the promo code HANDSBRANCH. That's HANDSBRANCH. Did I spell that right? Hands Branch. You know, reference to Hands on the Branch, which is what we're listening to right now, aka the Executive Buffet. 15% off, okay? 15% off your entire order entering the promo code HANDSBRANCH. HANDSBRANCH. Which, yeah, you know what's going on here, okay? So please join me. Dive in. Clothe yourself in a bizarre psychedelic excellence of cotton. Cotone. Do it now for a friend, maybe for a buddy, like a lover, a soon-to-be lover, maybe for your granddaddy, your grandpa, your grandpapa, your papa. That's it, you know, just buy your granddaddy a shirt that fits him and just watch that senile old dribbling bump just wobble around and look cool as hell because he's got a Night Channels shirt on, okay? That's what I don't have any grandparents left, but if I did, I'd definitely be engaging them in this deal, okay? Nightchannels.com. Hands Branch in the promo code 50% off. Go do now. This is Twisting the Wind. I'm Johnny Pemberton. This is the spot. This is where you want to be, baby. This is it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your other pimps, okay? It's only one. Only one. Yeah. I'm like a predacious mite on a striped thigh. I want to get wind. I'll crack my bucks to bend the sand. I got Anderson lined up around him. I'm gonna take everything in the cases. Gonna steal all the beer straight from your faces. Got no nothing, my motherfuckers don't suck them down. Daddy, doing like you get in the cash. Pay for it in cash. Right? Hey, Dobbs. Hey, Grab. Hey, Clip. hey, Tub. Hey, Manacle. Hey, Brass. Hey, Thump. What's up, dude? You gonna be over at Brandle's house when he comes back from the Briar Patch? I don't know, man. Those thorns are pretty sticky. We did some raspberry bashing later this summer, and it was a retro future thing when we couldn't find enough blackberries to offset the raspberries, man. It was like a red-black affair. So they were more like blue, even though they're not blueberries. They're black. Yeah, but then, what's his name? Michael fucking killed a frog with a 9-iron. He cracked his skull. Like went right in the mud. The frog's skull like disappeared in the mud. So not much you can really do about that.
I apologize. I'm recovering from,
I'm pretty much, like, still recovering from a cold, you know. Do you ever get one of those colds and you're just like, oh, my God, I've got a cold, you know?
And you get a cold and you think the cold's affecting you in a way that you didn't know a cold could affect you. You're like, wow, I am living in the past right now. I'm currently...
You know, I'm currently like living in the past because I have a cold. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He's like 5 seconds behind. Oh, I'm sorry. I just really like, I'm super addicted right now to the way this sounds. You're listening to Twisting the Wind. This is Johnny Pemberton. This is the beginning of the show. And right now I'm just really enamored with the way my voice sounds, because, you know, it's all about self-love, baby. But really, it's not so much the sound of my voice, but the sound of a sound that happens to be my voice. And I think what's going on right now is just this great sort of a soft wave interference that's creating this, I guess you could call it a natural flange or a phasing effect. I don't know if you can hear it in the compressed version of the podcast you're currently receiving. There, you just heard it. You're hearing those waves interfere. Because one thing is pitched up just a hair. And it's just enough to give me that phaser that I've always dreamed about being my real voice. Could you imagine walking around, this is how you sound, like, hey man, what's up? Oh, yeah. Oh, you have a normal voice? Oh, that's too bad. My voice is a phaser. Hey, my voice is a fucking phaser, motherfuckers. Now it's not. Now I deface. Now I'm deface and Brian Glazer, Reglaze, Baser, fucking chump laser. Laser chump, dump the pump, man. Dump the goddamn pump, rump. If you got a fucking clump, dump the pump, because you know there's never going to be enough to get you out of that grump patch. Being in the moment here with you here on Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton, I've sort of amended the title of it now. Sometimes saying my name at the end with Johnny Pemberton. That is the technical title of the show. You know that if you've been here before. See, what's that? It's a little gravel. It's just a little hey. I can see that. I can see what it looks like. It's like little wooden pebbles that have like a kind of like a gelatinous sheet over them, but it's not like a... You know when Jell-O like dries, like the corner of Jell-O when it dries and it becomes almost inedible. It's like a thick. I'm not crunchy, but it's a film. It's thick. It's a barrier. It's that. It's a gel barrier. That's what. Imagine that laying over some nuts. You know, some nuts. You know, like nuts. Like instead of like ball bearings, like nuts, but like nut pipes. Like sort of a lightly breaded nut pipes that are laying across to do sort of a scooch action where, let's say you were to build the pyramids of a pyramid town and you had to move these large blocks. So you constructed these locks to cause non-friction underneath the heavy movement devices. And you pull out that log and you put it in front of it and you move it slowly because it's rolling on these pins like a bunker. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like a nut log bunker with a gelatinous sheet-like membrane that undulates between the logs and their dips and valleys. That's what I hear. That's what I think is going on in my throat when I go, oh, man, that was a long explanation for that. But thank you for listening to Twisting the Wind. I'm recovering from being under the weather. Coincidentally, during the time when we received some actual weather here in Southern California, it's been absolutely wonderful. There's moisture in the air. The plants are loving it. They are opening up like fucking the massive, beautiful vaginas they are and just, oh, baby, it's great to go out there and see these pea tendrils poking out from underneath the soil. I'm sorry for those of you who are listening in a climate right now that is currently encumbered by the depths of the hideous cold and snow. But what can I say other than that's just the way it is, baby. Sometimes you spray some jizz. Sometimes you have twins as kids. Oh, that's just gay kids. Sometimes I rap like this. I want to rap over the song, but I can't get Bruce Hornsby to let me do it. But that's how it is, you know. You get that winter, you get that winter that we don't get. So it's useless to be jealous. You also have a summer that spanks the pants off of our summer in terms of grow ability. So I'm just speaking garden metaphors here. But I will say, those pea tendrils, baby. See those pea tendrils pushing up. You see that, all that stuff just growing out there. You got the mists in the high mountain because the air has been cleared, so you can look through the air and it looks like things that previously seemed far away and kind of like burdened from the smog or just the haze phase. If you're under a haze phase, man, once you get that haze burned off, you get dephased of the haze. I'm not talking about a phaser. I'm talking about an FAZ phase. A haze phase, and you get that clarity, and it's just like everything is close. Everything is in this sort of dynamic, in sync thrum, and it feels good. It's just there's that power in there. It's like you're at the beach, but you're not at the beach because the beach kind of sucks. But seriously, I should call this fucking podcast "But Seriously." Why the fuck do I say "But Seriously"? You're listening to Twisting the Wind. This is a podcast on Feral Audio Network. You should check out other podcasts on this network. They're all really good. They really are. Feral's the best podcast network. All the other ones are fucking chump city bitch balls. Except for maybe All Things Comedy. Pretty great. The Bone Zone on there. Check out the Bone Zone, everybody. If you like Twisting the Wind, and for some reason you haven't listened to the Bone Zone, you really should. It's a great podcast featuring Randy Litke and Brendan Walsh, one of my closest friends. I'm frequently a guest on there. We've done some stuff on that podcast that is quite, I can say without a doubt, some of the funniest things I've ever been involved with in my entire life. Check it out. Have a listen. But chances are, you're here because of that podcast. It doesn't even fucking matter. Or you're a fan of some other podcast and if you found your way here. Even though this is, we've been a long time running here, right? We've been a fucking long time running. I suppose you don't have to be allegiant to one podcast. It's not like, oh, I found you through this. Oh, I found you this way. I've never originated you. You've only been a side shot from other things. So just so you know, I'm this way, not that way that you thought it was. Okay. So there's that. Also, there's all kinds of other great ones. Check out Matt Dwyer's podcast, Conversations with Matt Dwyer. He's an amazing modern journalist. He's like what Charlie Rose used to be, sort of thing. He's just really great guy. Great guy. Has incredible, interesting guests on it. It's on Feral. Check it out. Chelsea Freddy's podcast is amazing too. What a genius comic mind. That sounds so false the way I said it, but it's true. It's weird to say that. It sounds like, yeah, I can't put like a fucking Rolling Stone journalist or something. But all kinds of great podcasts on feralaudio.net. I think I just sounded like I was from Minnesota there. So please check them out. Although there's another great one called the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, which is also on there, which you may hear a little pieces of here coming up on this podcast. I reminded you to please rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. Do all three. Click subscribe. Click the rater number 5 stars, unless you don't think it's 5 stars, in which you can do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. Honestly, I don't care. I don't care anymore. That number, and also do the review. If you want to write a review, you don't have to write a review. People who've written reviews for the podcast, oh man, baby dogs. I fucking love you. Oh, I love you, man. I really do. I love you like I love Oyo Como Va on the radio loudly while I'm waiting to have a hamburger made for me, okay? And I have a picnic table I can drum on that has a nice acoustic, like funk, like a ting, 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 ting. I love you like I love the sound of timbales when I didn't expect them. So thank you so much. You people have said such not just nice things, but creative things. Things I'm like, wow, you should write for this podcast if this podcast had writers, but it doesn't. So those three things. Contact is twistingthewind@gmail.com. That is twistingthewind@gmail.com. That's an email address for your queries, questions, orders, mixes, manticles, mumbles, and rangels, and rangers, all that stuff. And finally, be sure to donate to the fucking podcast, goddammit. You're probably listening for free. That's fine. I don't care anymore. But if you got money, give me a little piece of it, because if you're getting this quality programming for free, most other podcasts totally fucking blow, and you know what? They suck. They're boring, and they're made like in an afternoon, like, okay, we recorded it. Let's go off and fucking suck on assholes and do fucking digging tunnels in the ground where we fucking shove pretzel rods up our assholes. That's what most podcasts are. They're just fucking shit. It's dreck. It's stuff made for the convenience of making it for no reason at all. No joy. You know it. That's why you're here. You know it. I feel like Beetlejuice right now. I feel like I'm fucking Beetlejuice. That's what I mean, okay? This is the Beetlejuice version of podcast. It's fucking... I really think that's a good analogy. I want it to be. I want that sincerely to be this, what this is. This is the Beetlejuice of podcasts. It's a blaster. It's a fucking what the fuck, okay? I'm trying to make it a what the fuck all the goddamn time. Like a real foamy bender, okay? So that being the case, those other podcasts, they're free. This one shouldn't be free, but I make it free because it's how it works. So please, if you can spare a dime, brother, do it. Do the right thing. Get that jolt of karmic consciousness in your brain and body, and either patronize the sponsor, Night Channels, or just send some fucking PayPal money via the Feral Audio website, or go to our Amazon portal. This is a great option for all people. Amazon portal, okay? And what you do is you buy shit through our Amazon portal, and we get like a little piece of that pie, like a very, very thin, like razor slice of that pie. But you know what? You know what? And I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it 1,000 times. Malcolm, everything adds up. At the end, it all adds up. I don't know who the fuck that was, but seriously, it all adds up, okay? So if you can do that, if you're going to buy shit on Amazon, if you're going to fucking buy anything, if you're going to buy anything ever in your entire life, go to the Feral Audio website and click on the Amazon thing and go buy shit through there. I'm being quiet right now because currently I'm engaged in a thermostat war with some cum guzzlers down the hall who insist on turning the fucking heat on, even though it's not hot, it's not cold at all. Thermostat wars. I gotta say, to be honest, not to detract from my fucking glorious badgering you for your hard-earned cash, which I am fine doing. But I gotta say, there's nothing that enlivens or enlivens, whatever it is, the spirit of youth like a nice covert thermostat war, baby. I'm having a good time.
What's your RFID interference? It's probably the government.
All right. Well, look, I don't want to be a bummer. I normally jump right into doing fun improv games with
what
you.
What are you talking about? What's the problem? Bring it up. Bring it up, Duncan.
So.
Tell your friend Johnny. Bring it up. And use the coaster, asshole.
When you. this whole fucking cult of coasters. When you called me to come do the podcast today, yeah. I was mourning. I'm mourning today because.
Okay.
My, I had a teacher in the second grade who meant so much to me.
In the second grade?
Is there any way to take this fucking effect off?
What are you talking about, Duncan?
You know what I'm talking about?
There you go. Now you're normal. Now you're normal, buddy. Hey, relax.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. She,
Tell me more about it.
Okay.
Speak anonymously. Using this, you're going to be anonymous here now, okay? Your voice is probably...
I don't want to be anonymous. I want people to know. I want people to know what happened to me.
Tell them what happened.
I had a teacher in the second grade who...
Right. Your second grade teacher.
My second grade teacher,
right,
as they say.
Uh-huh.
Who had the most profound impact on my life that anyone has ever had. And 5 years ago to this day, she died in a car accident.
Okay.
And this day is a really rough day for me and sad and... I just wanted to, if I could, sing a song.
Sure.
To her.
Would you like any
in
help?
Her memory.
Would you like any type
of accompaniment? Or
I would love it.
Okay, would you like it vocally?
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears around. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your and around bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart around bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit restless and I dream of something wild. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit helpless and I'm lying like a child in your arms around. Every now and then I get a little bit angry and I know I've gotta get out and cry around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your turn around bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Turn around bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now tonight. And I need you more than ever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. We can make it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time. I don't know what to do, I'm always in the dark. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Thank you.
Duncan, Duncan, thank you for sharing your song. Thank you for being the here and the now in my life. Oh, Duncan, thank you for sharing your song.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being so present.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
You're
being
welcome.
So present.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being so present.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Great.
Ah, man, that feels good to get off my chest.
I appreciate that because that's the thing. People forget about anniversaries a lot.
I don't. I have one, probably three a month.
You do?
Of people who have died in my life.
Wow. You're like Jim Carroll.
Did he have 36 people die in his life?
I don't
life?
Know. You know that song, These Are People Who Died? These Are People Who Died? Jim Carroll, old punk band from the late 70s.
I don't get into punk.
It's not really punk at that point. It's sort of just like monk punk. Booby-doo. That's great, man. I really appreciate that. Well, can you talk about
Thanks
how
Thanks for
she...
giving me a forum to share my grief.
Duncan, I appreciate that. And that's what this is, actually. I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but I'm changing up the podcast. What I've done here is I've implemented these special digital modulators to allow people to come and grieve in a safe place. As you can tell, the lighting has been custom designed.
Beautiful, man. These are the most incredible ornate oil lanterns I've ever seen in my life.
I know. And that's what they do is they give off this... it's a lavender infused with khamdu, which is an ancient Middle Eastern herb that comes from
It smells so good. It's got that not that good smell, the good part of the semen smell.
They call that the good smell.
Yeah.
Also known as the good smell.
Yeah.
And I've done that to sort of create this effect where people can come and grieve and like you just did. You just took the temperature of the room and you stepped into it.
And you dropped me down into a place that it's hard for me to get to on my own. If I'm sitting at the house alone mourning for Miss Boggs, it just doesn't hit it's hard for me to get there. I will get there. I can get there, but
it's
something
hard.
About the combination of these beautiful ornate lanterns and that good part of the semen smell.
That good.
Yeah, this place has got that good. Because it, you know the...
It's the alkaline.
You know, it's that deserty man smell.
That, yeah, where it's a man who's filthy. He's been shitting for probably 40 days, 40 nights in the desert, wiping his ass with rocks.
Yes.
But it's so dry that the shit that's crusted all over his body doesn't... It has more of a pungent aroma as opposed to a, like, a tack aroma.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better.
Because if you're in Hawaii or something where it's moist, you're going to really... Those yogis stink to all high heaven.
Well, that's why they say, come in Hawaii, you'll never come again.
Mm-hmm. Because it's basically, you come in the air.
But you will. I mean, they don't mean literally, but they do. They do.
Oh, that's great, yeah. They don't mean literally come again. They mean like...
because Hawaii's beautiful, but it's that double entendre. In Hawaii, because of the tropical air, semen has more of a... deep, like
sharp
licorice,
almost like a cheddar and a cheddar meets a cheddar that's been aged
like Carlonian cheddar. Have you ever had that stuff they sell at Gelson's?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah,
Carlonian cheddar. Ugh, it's almost like it's just like nighttime.
It smells like bad jizz.
Smells like bad jizz. Yeah.
Bad Hawaiian jizz. It smells like you are looking into a volcano in Hawaii, and one of the a native Hawaiian from the past came out of a secret tunnel
and just
shoved you into the rocks, held you down with his knees, and you were staring up at his darkened tropical balls and his wildly trembling gigantic Hawaiian penis. And you, every time, slowed down, maybe because you were being assaulted by a Hawaiian time-traveling native, or maybe because he has control over the time-space continuum and
with his penis.
10,000 years. 10,000. A lot of people's penises are time.
It's penis control.
It's the time antenna.
Does that have anything to do with the gravity well?
Well, they say that if there were no penises on Earth, everything would float.
Really?
Yeah, like there's a direct relationship to the difference in hearing.
It's the differential.
Yeah.
Is that what they mean when they talk about the differential equation of man?
That's exactly what they mean.
Okay, because it's like a slip differential in a truck, because the truck gears have a slip differential, so that's the thing that allows it to the wheels to move in opposite directions.
What are gears shaped like?
Gears are shaped like teeth.
Well, I know, but what are the teeth on? It's like a circle that
it's
has...
It's a circle, yeah.
Right.
Circle of life.
And what is a penis shaped like?
Penis shaped like a stick.
And what if penises don't... What is the one thing you never want to feel on your penis?
Teeth.
Bingo.
Oh, okay. That makes so much sense.
That's where they came up with the equation.
Oh,
so,
my God. Okay. Yeah. So that's not just a causal coincidence. That's a real thing. It's not a corollary causal coincidence.
No, there is no causal coincidence at all. Okay. That's what they call a steep synchronicity, or a steep Bergson synchronicity.
A deep Stinkberg.
Pearl Stinkberg. Oh my God, I love her. She's such a sweetie.
Yeah.
I saw her speak at the
Ferguson rally?
No, it was the Gameon convention. It was a couple years ago.
Did you see her speak last night at the Ferguson?
I didn't. No, I couldn't get internet. I was using
was
a T-Mobile
so
hotspot.
Beautiful, man. Stinkberg ascended to one of those.
Was it a high wire?
It was a higher wire that they'd extended between two American flags.
Oh.
Stinkberg got out there. She's wearing high heels on a high wire.
Oh, that is...
She starts giving this incredible speech, is about to do, I think, a poem or
Marilyn Stinkberg is my inspiration.
She got a fucking tear gas canister, smacked her right in her boobs, man.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't see that. And you know the mainstream media is hiding that footage. They don't want you to see that.
Oh, yeah. No one's even talking about it.
Oh, my God.
You can't even find it on the internet.
We have to get this up soon so people can know. Because Marilyn Stinkberg is such a revelation.
Pearl.
Oh, okay. I think I know her by her other pen name, because I've read
her erotic stuff.
Yeah, her erotic stuff.
Pearl Stinkberg is one of the nation's great writers. For those of you who don't know, she has written two fiction series that I love.
I love them all.
I love them all.
I'm a big fan of her. She sort of injects all of her work with this sort of maddening creativity. It's almost like her body is a vagina, and it just sort of consumes things. But that's what it is. It's like this sort of, if you took Margaret Atwood and ran her through like the Juggernaut tube and she came out with just glowing purple.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like you're doing with Pearl.
Yeah. A lot of people say that about her. To me, she's just a meat and potatoes, erotic, end of the day, working man's jerk off writer. But
yeah.
In the most artistic way, not the classic Beeline books. Do you remember the Beeline books?
I love the Beeline books. I mean, because they're great because it's just 7 pages. You have 3 comes inside the 7 pages, and it just like...
Guaranteed 3.
You're there, you know?
Guaranteed 3. That's... But...
My favorite's Hot Shuffle. I love Hot Shuffle.
That's the one with the guy who walks in on his sister cutting the lamb up for
cutting the lamb.
Soup.
Well, she's making that bread lamb soup. It's like a yeast bucket boy or something like that.
And she starts, something about the way he scared her makes her start pissing herself.
Something
and then he's like,
the
I've got to, he gets clean, he gets like paper towels and starts wiping up the urine from her leg. And then his hand accidentally brushes the very tip of her, labia.
Oh, it's her labia.
And then she's like, oh shit, you know, that's not a brother's place.
That's my zone.
Yeah.
Get out of my zone.
Yeah. And that's when that is when he slips on her urine that was still on the floor and holding her late and like clamps down on her labia.
Because she has those what they call flapjacks, where they're gigantic.
I don't get into that kind of labia talk. No offense. I do think there's a lot of comedy to be harvested from talking about labias, but
it is a central focus of the book. You can't ignore it completely.
It is a big part of it, but again, it sounds, I don't want to get, you know, some people, there's so many different shapes of the...
Yeah, it's all good. You know what I say about it? It's all good.
It's all good, man.
It's all good.
At the end of the day, it's not.
At the end of the day, all things being equal, it is what it is. Because when we're doing like a synergy thing,
yeah,
I've got Time Warner. They're linked in with Overstock.com.
Yep.
And I don't know if I haven't told you about this, Duncan, but I'm doing this new. It's a talking book thing where we're going to be selling it through Overstock via Time Warner's portal, and it's just this thing where. We got on the phone about it, and it all came from inspiration from Pearl. And it's just one of those things where, at the end of the day, all things being equal, it is what it is. And, you know, once we circle the wagons, it was something where we just looked at it and it was like, oh, this is what it is. Why should we try to think about it, contextualize it in any different way than what it is? Because at the end of the day, all things being equal, we're here on the same page. We've got one to get eyes on this product. And that's the thing. It's all about getting on the same page with the dealer and the vendors, because these vendors, they don't know what they're selling.
Oh.
You know?
That's the number one aspect of doing this kind of brand reconfiguration is that the moment that you start getting deep into the micro of what the vendors are up to,
right,
way down in there, you're going to find that they have these cylindrical, impossible to understand, tubal logic formations, and that's going to create the exact opposite of the product you want, which is why you've got to do a reversal whenever you get into the micro of what the vendors are up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that reversal mirror tactic is the number one thing that Stinkberg is so great at writing about in all her business literature, which
I said, oh,
as good
around.
As her fiction.
Yeah, I love her crossover work is outstanding when she does her erotic business crossover work is just the best.
They said you couldn't do it.
They said Stinkberg is now what hell.
Do you know the story
with a crossover?
You know the story of her best-selling book, Labial Organization?
No.
Hit
me with it.
So apparently she submits this book.
Oh, I'm on board already.
Under a pen name.
Mm. Yeah.
Under a pen name, because she knows that anything that she gives anybody is automatically going to be published because of Stinkbird.
Yeah. Because like, oh, they'll just blast it out.
So, Labial Organization. It's a book about how to organize a business mixed in with these really hardcore S&M, anal...
Labia fusions.
It's basically not to get into like literary terms, but it's about people implanting or shoving their labia into other people's assholes.
Labial anal serenification.
Right.
Yeah.
So she submits this to,
was it Dutch Harbor?
Penguin.
Oh.
She submits it to,
Dutch Mountain.
She's,
Garrison Garrison Tanto. Yeah. I heard she submits to them all the time.
She submits it to Tart Winkler. All okay. The big names.
Tart's huge.
So this ends up in the wastebasket of every single one of these publishers.
Because she submitted under a pseudonym.
Under a pseudonym.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And those publishers, man, I mean, you know, if he...
Do you know the pseudonym? Not to cut you off?
Well, I mean, I don't. That's what... I don't know it now.
Pimp Tinkle. That was the name she wrote.
She's going under one word.
Pimp Tinkle.
Pimp Tinkle. One word. Pimp Tinkle. Wow, that's that sounds like a like sort of like a like an Alsace Huguenot Dutch infusion.
Well, it just seems... I mean, it seems like you're not going to publish a book by somebody named Pimp Tinkle. Pimp Tinkle.
Yeah, Pimp Tinkle. It sounds like a tinkle and a pimp, and those are diametrically opposed. You know, it is what it is. But all things being equal, those names at the end of the day are not going to.
They're
sell
not
going to
make it into your vendor route.
Yeah, all things being equal.
Here's a little publisher, Lance Crawl.
Lance Crawl.
Yeah, he's published mm-hmm. 3 books, all of them complete failures. 2 of them apparently had the most typographical errors of any book.
Yeah, they put down the touchdown experiment, right? And that was the one that had like the most. Yeah, that was a sad one. That was one they burned. They didn't even burn it in.
Touchdown experiment?
Yeah, I heard that they were using it for.
They didn't
fuel.
Even burn it. They got into the. Apparently, when they were doing that whole book burning thing, they didn't even bother burning it because nobody could read it because it didn't make any sense.
It got de-zeitgeisted.
And this guy spent like $20,000 to get that fucking thing out there self published. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, he's at his publishing place, gets this manila envelope. Uh-huh. It's a book on labial organization,
right.
Erotic business organization by Pimp Tinkle.
Mm-hmm.
He's in interviews. He says he saw the author's name,
mm-hmm.
and that's how he decides to publish it.
Wow, that's such a great, such
and
a
he
refreshing
just publishes
thing.
It. He publishes it, and now he's a multimillionaire. He's one of the top
that's
publishers
great.
In the country.
I just love stories like this because they're infused with such a note of inspiration. It's almost like a perfume that lingers. Because these vendors, they're so one-sided now. These vendors, at the end of the day, all these vendors. All things being equal, they're selling products to themselves, so there's no real fusion or synergy created.
Yep.
And the big thing is that at the end of the day, all things being equal, it is what it is. And so they're going to sell what they have. And if you don't stock appropriately, you're going to get a problem with your reuptake infusions, and you're just not going to have the numbers that are going to chart on the board. So all things being equal, what can we do at the end of the day when we don't have the numbers in our on our basket, quote?
That brings to mind this incredible Forbes article that I just read about the vendors.
Okay.
And it's called, At the End of the Day, What Do We Do with the Vendors? And it compares the vendors to, if you look at there's one of these massive deep sea worms that they've been picking up on.
A crantoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's badass. Check, if you guys haven't seen this, Google search the crantoon.
You know, actually, I have a little sound file here that has the mating call of the crantoon. I'm going to just play it real quick, just get people so they can understand what that is. So this is just a quick little, I have it on the computer here, a sound file of the crantoon mating call. This is the female, because the female pursues the male crantoon. I'm going to lay it out here for you real quick.
Eerie. Now, fuck that. So spooky.
Wow, that was
scary.
Can
you imagine hearing that in a submarine?
Oh, that's, it fills up the entire submarine.
And exactly. And that's, they say that Russian nuke sub that went down, it happened because they got too close to a whole swarm of, or the fucking school of crantoons.
Well, it was sympathetic interference.
And it crashed the submarine. Now, so in this incredible article at the end of the day, What Do We Do the Vendors? And Forbes, the vendors are compared to, and this is all new stuff coming out because the crantoon is just being studied.
Right.
No one even knew what that sound was.
Right.
But on the side of the crantoon, there is on each side of the crantoon, there are 6 undulating flesh portals that are what the crantoon eats with and also puts out a kind of phosphorescent gas, which creates that amazing glowing
cloud
around
the superstructure.
Around a Crayon tune. So he says that the vendors can be compared to a Crayon tune that can only put out the phosphorescent gas but can't suck in the brill and the plankton that they eat.
Uh-huh.
So it's like if you're only putting out phosphorescence but you're not bringing in krill, then at the end of the day, that's a failed Crayon tune.
Well, at the end of the day, all things being equal, all things are not equal because your output is greater than
your
input.
Controversial.
Yeah, wow. That is. I would love to see Forbes tackle that analogy, the all things being equal. Oops, it's not equal because we have a... At the end of the day.
There's a disproportionate amount of Crayon tunes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
You got to balance them out, man. And that's exactly why at the end of the day, when I sit down and consider what's going on, I really do try to balance out my vendor patterns. Yeah.
So how do you... Here's my question for Duncan Trussell. Feel free to enjoy any of the snacks we've had here at the buffet. How do you bounce back? What do you do? How do you get back into it? Where's the root of the root of the medicine lie? Is it a heart note? Is it a head note? Is it a foot note? Where's the cord? Where do we strike it?
I wish there was an easy answer for that.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't have you on here to get any easy answers. I know that's the case when we're talking about things of and pertaining to vendor strategy, because it's something where the business climate's changed so much in the past, even 5 years, that we're just seeing things we just didn't. The amount of pop-ups we see, even in smaller communities, is outrageous to the point where...
Too much.
Yeah. Do you think
But do you regulate it? Do you not regulate it? But to get back to your question, there's a story that has inspired me for years.
Okay.
And the first time I heard it was in the second grade. My teacher, Miss Boggs...
I love you bringing this back home.
It's recess. You know, I've never been much of an athlete, though I do have an athletic physique. I've just got those genes.
Mm-hmm. Genes with a G.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids are... Genetics is everything. Kids are... it's recess. Boggs has me... has held me over. And she tells me this story about how she was on this Hawaiian vacation, top of a volcano.
Wow.
Looking down into the crater.
The abyss, really.
Fiery abyss. There's a unnoticed cave because it was covered with shrubs, rocks. Pushing out of this cave, Hawaiian, Samoan as they call it. Gallops forward her. She said it's no different than... You're reminded of her trapdoor spider. The guy's probably been in there for 15 years.
Oh, he's just been... The coil has been winding.
Springs out of this thing, dives on top of her, pushes her down... And ejaculates all over her face.
My God, is this like a volume?
White God is exactly what she said.
It was like
having a white spray of God.
A spray God.
Yeah.
I've heard tales of that from different Maori...
Maoris.
Inscriptions.
You're talking about New Zealand.
Right, which is, you know, it's a similar thing.
Same people,
thing.
All connected via underground tunnels.
And the face tattoos, yeah.
She said that the stink of that tropical jizz... was so intense, so briny, so thick. I'm sitting there listening to her.
This is second grade.
My mind's getting blown.
Second grade.
She said the thick brine, I still remember exactly what she said. The thick, briny spit from the worm of the tunnel man was so deep that it made my nose tremble. My lips pursed down, my eyes shut. They took me to an urgent care, and for the next 6 hours, they chiseled that jizz off my face.
They had to get jizz chiselers.
They had to use... Ugh. They had to use... No, they didn't use jizz chiselers. They had to use sonic... they had to use sound to crack it off.
That's sonographic jizz cracklers.
Yes, that's how thick it was on her
face. Oh, my God.
She almost asphyxiated.
Well, I thought the whole thing with those jizz plastering ceremonies was they left air holes to allow for you. It's like that's the suffering of it.
No,
oh my myth. God, I must have been reading some
that's
pretty.
A myth.
I think that, you know what that is. That's the watered down modern version of that ceremony.
Yeah. No way, man. Wow. When those bastards came popping out of the tunnels when people first got to mm-hmm. Hawaii, hundreds of people just suffocated
on the spot.
They were congealed. But long and short of it, she told me that for 2 years. Anytime she got near a volcano, she'd pass out because she remembers this guy diving out, spraying this tropic stuff, jizz, semen, onto her face. And she told me, at the end of the day, the way I bounced back from that was I had my husband pour a jar of mayonnaise onto my face while simulating, you know, a volcano sounds. She said that after that, going back into it, going back to the heart of that fiery hole, she got her strength back, and that's how she bounced back. So for me, same thing. I do the exact same thing. I surround myself with vendors. I surround myself with people outputting that gas.
Right.
And I do that for 2 hours.
2 hours at the end of the day.
Listening to heavy dubstep.
Vendors
every play. Single day, 2 hours, a ring of vendors surrounding me, excreting that gas, listening to dubstep. I sleep great, wake up in the morning, reset has been pushed. The reset
that
button.
Is outstanding. So, would you say that this is what your teacher sounded like?
She sounded like that if it were underwater.
Oh, okay. So when I encountered the jizz,
I dealt with it in the best way that I could.
We're close there or no?
I mean, you know, the spirit's there. It's not exactly her voice. She had kind of a southern accent.
Okay. Something more like,
Duncan, sweetie, I love that you're in my class. I want to teach you all about how to chisel away the jizz because this is how it works in the real world, honey. There's things that you ain't gonna have any control over, and they're gonna be inside your life. It is what it is, and it is what it shall be. So what happens is when these chiselers come for you,
you have to just let those sonic rays blast through your body, baby. Because if you don't,
you're gonna be in a place
where you can't come back from called the deadly, deadly double world.
That's eerie how similar that is to her.
Because I'm deep in that deadly, deadly, double, dead world right now,
trying to find my way out, find my way back to you. Oh, sweet baby, I can see the shine inside you. I know you have what it takes to blast your way out of those jizz prisons.
It's eerie.
Get away.
The jizz prisons. I love that.
I'm glad I was able to approximate that for you. I find that therapeutic to take a regressing step back to that step jack.
Have you read the new Stephen King book yet?
I haven't. Is it available?
Yeah, I hear it's really good.
Oh, who'd you hear it from?
Various reviews. And
really?
I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah, I bet. He's a great author. He's really got like his finger on the pen, so to speak.
He is a good writer.
Yeah, he's got that whole thing where he like, you know, he just sort of like writes what's really good.
He writes what he knows, friend. He writes what he knows.
I think we should take a quick break and then we should come back and we'll talk about some other.
Let's come back and make fun of hipsters.
Yeah, let's do that, okay?
Great.
Okay, Duncan. Love you.
We'll be back.
You're not gonna go anywhere.
At the end of the day, Daddy was home, looking at the TV and I heard him moan. The news was so sad, made him feel bad. He wanted to change the world, but he didn't know how. Then I said, Daddy, end of the day, Daddy, all you gotta do
daddy
is love you.
Love you.
Ooh, 'cause at the end of the day, there's only you, surrounded by a universe that you don't think is you. But it's all inside your head,
all inside
a neurochemical reflection of some external stimuli that you will never know.
It's an erection.
So know that whatever you're angry at is just a part of your brain, and at the end of the day, you're in charge of your own pain.
You're in charge of your own pain, Daddy. Oh, 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 oh.
Beautiful song.
Thanks. That's at the end of the day.
I love that song. At the end, because I agree, at the end of the day, when you look at it, all things being equal.
Yes.
It is what it is, because you are in charge of your own pain.
Yes, you are.
To work on yourself is to work on others.
To work on yourself is to work on the universe.
Work on the universe, because we are all a little bit,
little
scrap,
godlings.
A little scrap in the gravity well.
Little godlings stuck in a gravity well.
I've been thinking about that gravity well a lot lately.
Yeah.
The idea of it in terms of just how, like, it's all fucked up, man. That's why everything's all fucked up.
Well, man, to me, the mind-blowing thing that I don't understand why the scientists aren't looking into is who the fuck made the gravity well, you know? Like, who's like, go down to the gravity well and get a glass of gravity for your grandpa?
I think God did it.
Yeah.
God did that gravity well. God made it.
I think you're right.
God made that goddamn gravity well.
I think you're right.
Tell me more about it.
I'm not gonna tell you what I think. I'm gonna tell you a direct quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson, what he had to say about it.
I want to hear about it.
So, in the beginning of time, directly after the Big Bang, the expulsion of the singularity, and millions of various stars, black holes, Milky Way galaxy clusters, and all the other supernovas, red dwarfs, various stars, and dark matter. Directly after that, the universe looked exactly like a sort of like a well taken care of golf course community. There was three houses and three different people lived there. And
so this is an analogy.
No, this is real.
Okay.
They pick this up with every telescope.
Okay.
Has shown you can when you're you probably don't study cosmology. Do you study cosmology?
No, I don't. That's okay. Why I asked you about it.
I could tell not to be condescending. But
no, it wasn't condescending at all.
Thank you. But
it did sound a little condescending.
You have no idea anything about the way anything works.
You're also not a physicist, so
no. Number one question? Somebody who just admitted to the entire fucking planet that they don't know anything about cosmology.
No, I didn't say that. I said I don't study.
You said I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about cosmology.
What was that?
You're right.
What did you just say?
I said I don't know anything about
cosmology. Rewind it again.
I don't study cosmology.
No, rewind. Your rewinder recalibrated what you said. Rewind it again.
I don't know anything about anything.
Now, rewind, go forward to you're jumping through the goddamn various multiverse patterns. Go back to the universe we're in, what you said. Stop jumping to the other alternate realities that exist. Is it?
What do you want me to find?
You said, I don't know anything about cosmology, and I wanted you to play it twice humiliate you.
Hold on, let me get there.
You keep flipping through the wrong universe.
Okay, well, this is an imprecise machine. It's a
shit machine.
It's a crossover, baby. Hold on, I'll get it. Hold
on. I don't know anything.
There, good enough. So, to go on with my story, at the beginning.
Go ahead, yeah.
Directly after the singularity, when everything exploded, golf course. three houses in the living around this golf course, and they didn't have a great water plumbing in there because the guy handling that shit, Juan Castaro, was not
he wasn't trained properly.
This is the beginning of time. People don't really understand the intricacies of doing that level of community golf course plumbing. Those guys have very ornate toilets.
They have also these wastewater systems they have to manage too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Pouring out into space. That's where all the stars came from. P.S. The stars came because Juan Castaro didn't, apparently, and some people say it was intentional, and some people say he actually is the creator of the universe, mm-hmm. posing as the, plumber. And that is, of course, a very interesting theory, which I completely disagree with.
That makes sense, though. In terms of the living God, is someone who was both a caretaker and a destroyer.
Do you wear? I guarantee that. So let me see your necklace. I already know what's in the end. Pull it out.
There it is.
Look at that.
Bling.
Yep. I knew it. A fucking goddamn crescent. Yep.
We call it a phalanx.
But right, so you are obviously somebody who prays to Castaro.
I have prayed to Castaro. You know what? My grandmother prayed to Castaro, all right?
And you do now.
No, it's an heirloom. I wear the Castaro crown because it's something that I feel reverence toward my ancestors.
I'm not judging.
For.
I'm totally cool. I think you...
Is everybody who wears a cross a Christian?
No.
Okay.
No.
Don't make me out to be a Castillo when I'm just... It's just paying on.
It doesn't matter.
It's a trinket.
Great.
It's an amulet.
You worship a fucking sky plumber.
You're extrapolating things out to an extent.
Well, your grandmother worshiped a sky plumber.
She did. My grandmother did worship a sky plumber.
Well,
okay?
I'm sure you're aware of the various rituals that go into that.
Yes, I am. And my grandmother had a lot of bowel problems, and her bowels were very active. So for her, it made sense to pray to the sky plumber.
Let me just say this. I do believe, at the end of the day, anyone who lives on planet Earth should be allowed to worship any god that they want, as we are all godlings trapped in a gravity well. And, therefore, you should be able to experience any kind of connection you want with any kind of being that exists in the universe.
I agree.
Okay.
Just do what you want.
But people who worship Castaro, they... As part of their ceremonial ritual, every morning, and I'm sure you know this because
know
your
it.
Grandma did it,
okay.
They get up, go into the bathroom, open the toilet, and drink toilet water that they cup into their hands.
I know.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not. Toilet water in the Western world is very clean.
It isn't. It depends.
No, it's listen, okay, if you ever come into my house or Castillo house, Castaro house. If you come into a Castaro house, you will find one of the most pristine toilet facilities that there is.
Oh, that's great. I'm
and
not
you know
drink
why?
Out of it.
Well, you can. You should
you drink out of everything. There it is.
You can and you should drink
why
out of it.
Why should I?
Because you want to join the community. It's about a community celebration. Well, what is a cult? One man's cult is another man's community, and one man's community is another man's cult.
First of all, I'm not going to, at the end of the day, everyone gets to worship whoever they want.
All things being
equal. I
don't want
to get in trouble with the Castaros. The Castaros will sue the shit out of you, by the way.
Okay, but they might. But
they will.
There's
been like 90 exposés on 60 Minutes this month about the religion that you...
My brother's a Castaro lawyer.
What a surprise!
Okay, but I'll tell you, it's boring.
Everyone in your
family. No, it's boring
what
stuff.
What happens if you want to leave
the... It's boring.
What happens if you want to leave the religion?
You just go.
And
you just
then
go.
What happens?
Nothing happens. Okay. All that other stuff is all drummed up.
Let me see pull up your shirt. I want to see your stomach.
I am not going to pull up my shirt for you.
Pull up your shirt.
I will not
pull up your shirt.
You want what? You think I've got a Castaro branding?
I guarantee you have a Castaro branding.
What if I do?
Then it means you tried to escape and they branded you with the mark of Castaro.
Pull
up the shirt.
Let me say that you got the wrong idea. You're on the wrong side of the idea. It's a branding. It does not mean you try to leave. It means you were born into it.
You think that it's normal to drink out of a toilet bowl in the morning and get burnt with a phallus-shaped brand?
What is normal, Duncan? What is normal? I don't know what normal is, okay? None of us are normal. It is what it is. All things being equal, at the end of the day,
we don't know what's normal, what's not. So, yes, I have a Star of Brandon on my chest in the same position where Jesus of Nazareth was pierced with a spear when he was on the cross.
That's another odd thing that you guys think.
What? About Jesus of Nazarene?
Yeah. You know, somehow you've connected. A, you think you know where the spear entered Jesus' chest.
We know from historical documentations from Josephus.
Right, I'm sure. But, you know, based on my study of the Christian myth, Jesus was not crucified, and it comes into question whether or not Jesus was even a human.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got some fucking ketchup popsicle to sell you if you're wearing white gloves. Because you don't know. You're obviously.
I guess the 19 years I spent in seminary school was just.
I know that.
Run around the golf course.
Let's talk about that. Oh, that's funny you say run around the golf course because you were alluding to the fact that the universe is a golf course.
Which I am a certain of, and that is based on 19 years of seminary school and reading Neil deGrasse Tyson with both. Everyone, I think all of us here, Castaros, Chameleon Christians, and Neil deGrasse Tyson all completely 100% agree on one irrefutable truth, which is that the universe in the beginning of time was, post-singularity, a golf course, a nice golf course community with three houses. Right. That's irrefutable. Everyone agrees with that. The three houses were inhabited by Lord Trom, Jesus, and Derry Winchell. And Juan Castaro was the plumber of these houses.
I'm going to rewind it real quick here.
And go ahead.
Get us back to a better spot.
Go ahead. So,
okay, yeah. Fixed everything. We're at the appropriate speed. Go ahead.
Castaro, the point of this, in the beginning of time, post-singularity, this incredible golf course community sprung up. And because the plumbing was fucked up, they had to figure out what to do to get water. People weren't taking baths. People weren't drinking water. All there was to drink was dark matter. So they dug a well.
Right. Dug a well.
Hoping to find water. But they tapped into... an entire underground ocean of gravity. And that was a gravity well. And because of that, it sucked the entire golf course, all the three homes.
All the good stuff.
Juan Castaro, all the water that had been spraying out, making all the stars, got sucked down into this gravity well.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is the post Big Bang gravity well theory. And because everything got sucked down into this gravity well, what you're looking at here is no different than a thing spraying out of a hole.
Uh-huh.
If you look at it through the Kepler telescope array, you essentially see the opening of the orifice, which is the Big Bang.
Oh,
I get it. The expulsion of the energy form, which is the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see that being sucked back down into the gravity well. That was dug by, who do you think?
Jesus.
Juan Castaro. Oh. Get it now? But he fucked up everything.
Oh, so if he hadn't
That's the year branded with a demon's mark. If he hadn't dug that fucking gravity well, we'd still be in a goddamn community golf course enjoying the sumptuous meals.
We would be there, though.
And everyone would be there. The gravity well and the Castaro well, as they call it, is the beginning of all sin. It's the beginning of all evil. It's why there's fucking darkness
why
in the world.
Why there's shit. Why there's poo-poo.
Shit, poop.
Poo-poo.
Everything, man. So that's why it's weird to me that you're great. That's why Castaros drink out of a fucking toilet bowl every morning.
Yeah, it's shit worship. I realize that.
Bingo.
It's shit worship, but you gotta worship shit in some sense or matter because it's a thing.
Apologetics.
You gotta, because you gotta, you know what? It's all about this. It's all about respect for the father and mother and respect from where you came from. We all came from shit to shit.
Castaro,
we shall return.
Apologetics are so
okay,
funny.
Okay, you know what?
You drink out of a toilet bowl this morning.
Let's move on. Let's
you drink out of a toilet bowl this morning.
I drink out of a toilet bowl. Every morning.
Okay.
And guess what?
Stop there.
When we took a break just now, when I went to fix the fucking magnetic ray.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Stop.
I
nothing you say after I drank out of a toilet bowl can be taken seriously. Nothing you say. If you say I drank out of a toilet bowl and then say
why?
Because you drank out of a toilet bowl.
Sorry.
Are you a dog? You're like a dog.
Duncan, let's move on.
And that's another thing you psychopaths think. You think that dogs are the incarnation of Juan Castaro.
I'm working through it. Juan Castaro was not who the man you're painting the picture of him to be.
Yes, he was. Neil deGrasse Tyson says
Neil deGrasse Tyson is a Castaro racist.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is. It's been proven.
If you read his science fact,
have you read his early newsletters?
Yes.
That he claims to have not written, okay? He says things about Castaro.
Makes some good points.
Yeah, he makes some good points, I suppose. If you're a Castaro racist,
he says that if you drink out of a toilet bowl,
then you deserve to be a toilet yourself.
Then you're a toilet.
No, he says you deserve.
You're a human toilet.
He's saying if you drink out a toilet bowl, why not just let yourself be shit upon? He says you should suckle. This is what he says. Quote. I'm gonna pull this up right here. I'm gonna pull this up. Quote. Okay. He says here. This is the 1986 newsletter.
Go ahead.
Those who drink from toilet bowls are no different than the toilet itself. So, in your life, what separates you from the kind of person who suckles the anus, who seeks to suckle that which is the most foul? What separates you? I say nothing. I say you are sucking on the anus of all. Okay? That's pretty damning to say something like that.
I would rather be accused of sucking on an anus than drinking out of a toilet bowl.
Oh, why? Because you think it's like more direct? It's more direct route to the baby?
I just think it's more erotic.
I think to get to the baby, you have to be, you know, the baby God is something that is elusive. I want to talk about the other gravity well, though, if we could.
Okay.
Just the idea, like the generalist idea of it being a construct of time as opposed to interstellar space, which is timeless.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That kind of thing I go back and forth on all the time. It's sort of like, okay, if you remove the space from within all human beings, right? Mm-hmm. Take the space out.
Right.
So it's just the atoms that make up human beings.
Right.
All human beings on planet Earth. It would be about the size of a sugar cube.
Wait, if we didn't have any space between us?
Yeah.
So like you're saying if it is what it is.
At the end of the day, if you remove all the space from all human beings.
Right.
Then you would have.
All things being equal.
All things being equal, you'd have a sugar cube size mass of human atoms.
It'd be very dense.
It'd be a very dense thing, but it would still be the size of a sugar cube.
Okay.
So space.
Wow.
Space is the expansive. Space is the air in the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you suck the air out of the human balloon, you get a sugar cube. Okay?
Right.
Now, at the end of the day, if you drop a sugar cube.
This is all things being equal?
All things being equal, okay. If you took a sugar cube size of anything.
Right.
And drop it into a well.
Right.
Depending on what's in the sugar cube, at the end of the day, it's going to affect the flavor of the well. Get it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, if I take an actual sugar cube composed of sugar and drop it into a well.
It's going to sweeten it.
It's not going to really sweeten it.
Well, on a micron level, yeah.
Well, right. In a very indiscernible way.
Indiscernible. Right.
But if I took a sugar cube made of human atoms that consisted of all the humans currently existing on Earth and dropped that into a well, what's it going to taste like?
It's going to taste like
It's going to taste like something you're familiar with. Poop water.
I said we were moving on from that. To say that is to say that humans are made of shit.
It's going to taste like, well, no, but is that not why you people drink out of toilet bowls? Because you think the toilet bowl represents the gravity well that humans are in. And you think that every time you poop, you are Juan Castaro ejecting human beings into the gravity well. Is that not true?
Yeah. the states were born in the blood of Costoro, in the blood of Costoro,
in the blood of Costoro, in the blood of Costoro, in the blood of Costoro, in the blood of Costoro. In the blood of Castaro, 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 in the blood of
That's why I'm super excited about it, man. It's got a much bigger screen. Oh, the battery life's a little better.
It's weird how they were able to make the battery life longer when it's a thinner phone, you know?
I don't think that's weird. It seems like because it's thinner, it probably uses less circuitry or something.
I suppose, but the screen's larger.
Screen's beautiful, man. Look at the color in that thing.
That's just crazy.
Do you see that?
You know, there's some days I doubt Apple. And then when I don't, I'm like, I feel bad for those days.
Man, I got to tell you, dude, I'm so excited about the new Apple Watches that are coming out with the biometrics. God damn.
I cannot wait to be tapped into that.
I can't either. If it does anything for me, like what the Fitbit did for me, it's going to... I will probably, by 2015 or 16, look very similar to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm trying to go for that Channing Tatum look.
Man, you're going to get it, bud.
I know.
Because this is something about... Anyway, I love measuring biometrics.
I love it because it radios everything in. It tells me my lipid count. Like
everything.
Six times a day.
No, the thing is actually going to be able to detect your sleep patterns. It is going to be able to detect your pulse throughout the day so you can see when your pulse has increased, which is very interesting to me because I love thinking about
what
gets me going. Because I guarantee you, one thing that gets me going is going up Los Feliz, and I'm going to be able to tell when I've been going out there. Have you noticed the traffic on Los Feliz is so bad?
It is insane. Listeners, I don't know if you know about this, but there's a boulevard called Los Feliz Boulevard, and sometimes the traffic, and this is a relatively wide street, you're just like, are you kidding me? Maybe we could get these... The problem is you've got these fucking bikers... people on their bicycles.
It's the bikers.
Get off the fucking
the
road.
Traffic lights are too... Or apparently... They haven't figured them out yet.
Other countries, France, England, Argentina, even Ecuador, they all have advanced algorithmic light timers that were designed by Apple. So it's us exporting our own good technology. We're not even using it at home. It's ridiculous.
I know. And I think it takes a lot of time just to get that kind of stuff through City Hall. And
I guess. Yeah, you gotta be patient.
What do you think of... David Thompson, who's the new
traffic
city council guy.
Oh, he's a city council guy. I think he's good. You know, he's got a lot of ideas. They're refreshing, but...
He's moderate, though.
He's moderate.
He's not
like that,
take
though. Because I don't like all these guys going in there with their big ideas, like...
Yeah.
Trying to, like, instill, like, community gardens and stuff like that. Get out of town.
I know.
Like, who wants that?
Slow change is the real change, and at the end of the day, you can't really take shortcuts, but...
I mean, all things being equal, what we need is more lanes.
Yeah,
the highways and on surface roads.
But that takes forever to get that kind of... I mean, imagine... There's no way unless there's no more room.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They have the old right-of-way laws. They just get rid of some of those apartment complexes are unattractive at best.
I agree.
They should just widen. Because
they're right on the... I mean, up in Griffith, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you got rid of a strip of the apartments, you could widen to get to... That should be a four-lane highway.
People are just so precious about things, and they realize... That could cut commute times as much as 10 to 15 minutes.
Nobody cares
everyone.
About anyone who lives in an apartment.
Yeah,
no offense. I don't want to upset anyone.
But, I mean,
but if you live in an apartment, you shouldn't be able to vote.
Right, because all these people who are protesting and stuff about these cops, talking about paying taxes.
What protests?
Well, I just hear the inklings of this. Like, I got some sort of alert on my phone. But people talk about their taxpayers. I'm like, okay, how much taxes are you paying? Really? probably not paying that much because you're probably living in an apartment. So, I mean, you should be... Your opinion on these roads is...
We should go back to the way it used to be. I'll tell you, man.
How it used to be. I agree. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
How it used to be.
My grandmother...
Mm-hmm. Sweetheart.
Owned a house on a golf course when I was a kid. And I got to really enjoy a really nice childhood because anytime we wanted to, we could go out on the golf course and me and my brother could play golf,
right?
Which kids love. And eventually what happened is because the guy running who was in charge of all the toilets, the plumbing guy for the golf course had no idea what he was doing and caused the whole fucking thing to flood.
Oh, that's the worst. That's
destroyed my grandmother's house with black mold.
Oh.
My grandmother inhaled, went
black
down
mold.
Into the basement,
the
inhaled an entire cloud of black mold spores into her lungs.
Jeez.
She got sliding lung disorder.
Oh my gosh, she can't move laterally at all.
She can't move laterally. She can't move in any way because she's dead.
Well, now she can't. Yeah.
So this asshole had no business working at this fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a homeowner. He lived. He rented one of the houses.
He wrecked
houses
all
on
these
the
people's homes.
Yeah,
and all with his negligence and stupidity. Man, that's ridiculous.
So that's to me. It's like if I'm hiring people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have one question in the interview.
What's that?
Do you own a home?
That's genius, man. That's genius. I love it.
So, yeah. Thank you. And if I could, I know we got to wrap up.
Yeah,
I just want to I want to talk a little bit about my new book.
Cool. Hit it.
You can get
it
on Amazon.com. It's called Do You Own a Home?
Do You Own a Home?
The one question you should ask a person to decide if he's your friend
is Do You Own a Home?
Yeah.
I love it.
Or worker or girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
It's a long title. The title of the book is written on the...
Oh, that's great.
Throughout the whole book.
The thing. I love people who are progressive like
Thank
that.
You.
Who are like taking something like, what can we do with the book? Let's flip it on its head, but not actually flip it on its head.
The title is the book. It's through the whole book is the title. Now, that being said, you can get a discount on that book and if you go to... my Audible trial /family hour. You can download that book and listen to it for free.
Oh, cool.
If you could go visit my website, Do You Own a Home or Not? If you don't, I'm not interested in being your friend or having you as an employee.com. Then you can find all the information that you'll need about the book. And please listen to my podcast. Do you own a home?
Okay.
If not, you can't be my
You're
friend
not
or an employee.com.
Oh, it's called that.
Can't.
So do you own a home? If not, you can't be a friend or employee cast.
Do you own a home? If not, you can't be my friend or an employee cast.
Okay. Cast.
.com cast.
Great.
Do you own a home? If not, you can't be my friend or an employee.com cast. .com is the website.
Hosted by Duncan Trussell.
Yes.
Awesome. I love that. You know what that is to me? That's spicy.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for being here.
Man. I hope we do it again soon.
Yeah, so again soon. We can find you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Boxcutter, Jamboree.
Not on Jamboree. Banned.
You did. Well,
showed a picture of my nipple.
Well, that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about it next time. Let's just let's sing it out, and then we'll see you next time. Here
Great.
We go. Should I get all set up here? Oh, thank you for being with me today. Thank you for being not gay. I found out something secret. I found out something special. I found out that I need to be alongside of you. Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming.
The belly of the snake against the belly of another snake.
Snake, snake, snake.
Rubbing together.
Rubbing
friction in the lake.
Snake, 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 snake.
the belly of a snake.
Snake sandwich.
Against another snake.
Snake sandwich.
You think they're slimy, but they're not slimy. They're actually scaly. Snake.
Snake. I feel a snake ache.
Snake. 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 Snake.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.